Welcome back, friends. I am so incredibly glad that you have found your way here to episode 16 of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom podcast. Today, I have something special for you. I have invited Kelly Collier, who is a fellow online nutrition coach in the space, doing awesome stuff. She also has a history of eating disorders, and she's helping her athletic clientele find what we call food freedom, but to move away from restrictive dieting and to help them find results that last. Is there anything better? So obviously, you know, this is what I'm all about, and I wanted you to hear it echoed from another coach. I know sometimes it's human. We just need to hear something a couple of times before it starts to sink in. So I hope what she has to share with you today will impact you and affirm you in the choices that you have made to invest in yourself and your health in a way that gives back to your body instead of taking and restricting and depriving. Because this, my friends, is the only way to do it if we want lasting success and longevity. So tune in and let me know what you think. Drop a review, shoot me a DM on Instagram, because I would love to hear from you. But without further ado, let's dive right on in.
Welcome to the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Hagen, a nutrition coach, entrepreneur, food freedom expert, and forever a recovering disordered eater. I am here to help you own your enoughness, find your very own food freedom, and achieve your health and wellness goals in a way that gives more than it takes. Each week, I will provide you with insight and inspiration surrounding no-nonsense nutrition, mindset, motivation, body image, confidence, and other wellness wisdom.
Before we get started, Kelly, tell us a little bit about you. Who are you? What do you do?
Well, I'm Kelly. My name's Kelly Collier. I live in Dallas, Texas. Born and raised in Texas. I'm actually originally from Austin. I don't know if you've ever been to Austin before.
I have not.
ATX, keep it weird. But I am also, like you, an online nutrition coach. I've been doing that for about a little over a year. But I created my business, Kelly Collier Nutrition and Will Squat for Pizza. And so I just do that here. But I also, I mean, I do a million other things. Like I have, you know, another full-time job, I guess you could say. And I'm also like a CrossFit coach and I'm a competitive weightlifter. So I have a very full life. I don't like to use the word busy. I like to use the word full. I just have a full life.
Holy smokes. Yeah. So I didn't know you were a CrossFit coach. That's awesome.
Yeah, you did it. I've been coaching for, over 2 years now, but yeah, I coach at the gym that I train at. So okay. That's kind of my way of getting like free training, basically.
So Kelly, with your nutrition coaching business, I don't know that I know this, but who do you work with? Like men, women, specific demographic?
Yeah, I work with a little bit of everybody. And I think that that came about just because it wasn't on purpose, but just because I am an athlete. So when I first started out, it was just super easy for me to, you know, take on athletes and take on clients from my gym, CrossFitters, other weightlifters, because anytime someone would come into my gym and they'd be like, I need help in my nutrition, you know, everybody would be like, go talk to Kelly. So I have athletes on my team. I work with mostly women, but I do have a handful of men as well. And I actually work with quite a few shift workers and first responders too, EMS, but also people in like the medical field, doctors and nurses and stuff like that. But also I have a couple TV personalities, I guess you could say like newscasters, news people. So that's kind of cool. But also, you know, shift work basically, which is very, very tough. But I would say primarily the people that gravitate towards me are women. Just because of my story and my background with like mental health and disordered eating and eating disorders and kind of all of that stuff that I dealt with in my past, but that I'm also very open and vocal about on social media. So, you know, a certain type of person is attracted to that. And, you know, I talk to a lot of women who are currently struggling with that as well, or have struggled with that in the past. So
tell us a little bit more about that, Kelly. I know we both have, you know, eating disorder histories, and we could have like a whole episode just on that. No doubt. But what kind of, I'm assuming that's what propelled you into this career field. Tell us a little bit more about your journey.
Yeah. So, well, it's a long one. I mean, I'm 32 now, but I guess it would, honestly, it all started, you know, as a kid. I think how, you know, as most of our journeys do, way back when, I grew up in a family that dealt with a lot of mental health and still does. And so that was my environment that I was in. And so I kind of became that as well. And then, you know, my early adulthood was just coming out of that and pulling myself out of that, realizing it and just like working on that. But I, you know, I don't feel like I ever really had a super strong female role model in my life. As far as like my immediate family goes, like my mother, she's dealt with mental health her entire life. She still does. And so I never really had that woman pouring into me as while I was growing up, like building me up, you know, making me strong, independent, just could take on the world and do anything and everything that I wanted and just, you know, guiding me through my life. And so I feel like I've had to kind of develop that myself as an adult, after like realizing that and recognizing that. And then when I finally got into college, I started battling depression, a lot of depression. And then came the issues with weight. I initially dropped a ton of weight. I got down to under 100 pounds, and I'm like 5 foot nothing. So I was super duper tiny, but I was sick. You know, it wasn't intentional or a good thing. And of course came all the compliments and everyone telling me how wonderful I looked. But then I rebounded and I probably put on about 50 pounds. And again, I'm 5 foot nothing. So, you know, it, and so that was probably like my early 20s, I would say, while I was in college. And so from there started the, you know, diet, I call it my diet depressions. Basically, my restricting and over exercising cycles. I would literally just, my goal every day, I would wake up and try to eat absolute, like as little as possible. Like that was my goal every single day. Eat 500 calories and run 5 miles a day on the treadmill. And when I couldn't do that, I was a massive failure. And it just fed into my diet depression cycle. If I, you know, caved and ate normal food or, you know, had some croutons on my salad or heaven forbid I had a slice of bread, like I was a failure and I was so down on myself and like not worthy of anything. And, you know, I'd have to get up and start again tomorrow, but I would do that every single day, you know? And even now it's crazy to me. Like I'll get up and I'll get on Facebook and you know how Facebook does like, you know, 7 years ago, this is what you posted, like those lovely reminders of how ridiculous we were. You know, I ate this, that, or whatever, failed my diet, or guess I'll have to start again tomorrow, you know, sort of thing. And it's just ridiculous, you know, looking back on how I used to try to live my life. And it, you know, it never worked, of course. But from there, I moved to Dallas eventually, but I was almost like, to be honest, I felt like I was trying to run from all of those, that negative stuff and that negative life and just that depression and sadness. I was trying to run away and start a new life, but you can't run from those things. Like they follow you everywhere unless you stop and you recognize them and you fix them and you work on them. And they just continued to get worse for me. and I spiraled out of control. I mean, I was partying like crazy, drinking like crazy. Like, I literally felt out of control of my life, and like things were just falling apart and horrible things were happening to me, and I was hanging out with horrible people, and I just hit rock bottom, really, to be honest. I hit rock bottom. I started, my binges turned into binging and purging, and it got so bad at one point. And I just remember like nights where I would be laying on the floor of my kitchen, just having consumed everything in my house, scared to death, just terrified, because I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea why or how to stop it. It was almost like I would black out and not realize what I was doing. And I was like, I would come to, and there would be like, there'd be like peanut butter on the walls or something. Like, just like, it was like, I was desperately seeking to fill something inside of me that I had no idea what it was, or why it was missing or where to find it. But it was like, I was searching for it in my pantry or my refrigerator and trying to fill this empty space in me with food, like the food loved me or something. I don't know, but that was my rock bottom. And I finally got into fitness. A girlfriend of mine reached out to me. She was also an online coach at that time. And she reached out to me and wanted to know if I wanted to be a client of hers. And at that point, it was honestly like exactly what I needed at the exact right time. I was just like, I am in this mess. I don't know where to go from here. I have nothing to lose. Like, why not just do it? And if it doesn't work, you know, whatever. I had nothing to lose anyways. So she introduced me to weightlifting and getting away from the cardio cycle and the, you know, running until I dropped on the treadmill, because my whole life I had just assumed that weightlifting was for guys and cardio and ellipticals and treadmills were for the ladies. And I don't want to get bulky. Like, I don't want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, why would I do these things, you know? But she got me in the gym. She got me lifting weights. She introduced me to macros and flexible dieting. She got me tracking my food. And I was terrified at first, you know? And of course, like all ladies, they say, the first thing they say is, I don't want to get bulky. You know, I'm eating all this food and I'm lifting all these weights. Like, I don't want to look like a man, right? And it was the exact opposite. Like, my entire physique just radically changed in a way that I didn't think I would ever be able to do. Like, you always like wish for it and hope for it, and you want to love your body, but you just convince yourself that it's just not going to happen. It's just not in the cards for you. It's not possible. Like, just give up, right? And that wasn't true. None of that was true. And I finally saw that, and I saw the proof, and I learned how to properly feel my body, how to change my body in the way that I wanted through food. And, you know, of course, a little bit of weightlifting, but it opened my mind. It opened my eyes. It opened my mind. And I just went from this so rock solidly fixed mindset to this like growth mindset. I saw this growth in my physical body, and it's like it bled into the rest of my life, and it just opened my mind to this growth mindset in other areas, not just like physically, you know what I mean? And so that's kind of how I eventually got here. I mean, I got so into fitness and nutrition. I started getting all these certifications and taking all these courses and learning all this stuff because I was just so shocked. Like, I was just so taken aback that this was possible and that I had finally like found the answer that I had, you know, wanted to find my whole life, but no one had ever told me that this existed. Like, this is how you do it. You know, you eat food, you eat enough food, and you work out properly, and you lift weights, and this is the answer. And no one had ever told me that. And it's like, no one else knew. And I was like, how do people not know about this? Like, I have to learn everything I can about this, and I have to tell everyone. Like, I have to shout it from the rooftops. And I remember, like, I started my own blog, and I got on Instagram, and I was just, like, documenting everything. And then it just, years later, you know, I didn't know what to do with it, but now here I am. I'm finally a coach. It took me 32 years to get here. I am here. I have arrived.
They say don't rush something you want to last forever, right? So exactly. No rush.
Well, it doesn't matter how long it takes you to figure out your path or where you're supposed to be. Like, you're going to arrive there exactly when you're meant to. And I know that I see everything that I went through and all of those struggles and all of my problems and the disruptions in my life, you know, and my eating disorders and just my depression and my weight issues and my health issues. I see all of that now that I'm here, that I've arrived, hindsight's 2020, why I went through all those things. Like, if I hadn't had gone through all those things, I wouldn't be here and I wouldn't be able to turn around and work with other people and coach other people. Like, I had to go through those things. So, I mean, there were blessings in my life, to be honest, because now I'm here doing this amazing work that I love so much.
And essentially you became the person that you needed, right? Like you said, you didn't have a strong female role model in your life. And here you are being a strong female role model to so many other people.
Yes. So. I love that. Yeah. I've never thought of that. Mm-hmm.
A couple of really cool things that I think you hit on, Kelly, that I want us to dive into. The first is kind of like the mindset component to progress, to fat loss, to fitness gain, to whatever the ultimate goal is. There's a mindset component, right? And your eating disorder story, obviously there's a lot of things that I can resonate with. Eating disorders are systemic. So usually they come from a place of, hey, I don't have the tools to deal with this, whether it's an emotional situation or a physical situation. So I'm going to manipulate my food because that gives me this false sense of control. And you mentioned your family members struggling with mental health, and kind of, obviously it's no secret to my followers that my brother's substance use disorder was kind of the trigger for me to feel out of control. And that ultimately led to my eating disorder. But I think, I don't know if you see this, but I see a lot of female clients who come to me and they want to focus on like the fat loss specifics right away. Like, just tell me what to eat. What should I be doing? And we kind of skip over this whole, well, wait a second. Like, what is your relationship with food like? What are you using food to help you cope with? Why are you eating for other reasons aside from hunger? Like, we don't want to spend the time, and maybe it's uncomfortable, right? Like, it's hard to dig into those feelings. Do you spend any time with your clients, like focusing on mindset, or do you talk about the relationship piece when it comes to food with people who come to you looking to lose fat or gain muscle or work on their, like PR in the gym?
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. And I have clients, you know, everybody's different, with why they come to me or, you know, where they're at. Some people don't have issues with that at all. And we can just go straight into body composition. What are your goals? Other people, or other clients of mine, I literally like have to take the first 3 months where we're not allowed to step on the scale. Like, we're not even allowed to measure take our measurements or measure our body or, you know, keep track of our weight or even, you know, think about physical data, because it wouldn't matter. Like, that is blocking us from even getting to that point in the first place, because everybody wants to look better and lose weight, of course. But if I can tell that someone's in a place where if they're going to be obsessing over those things right out the gate, then we're not even going to be successful in that at all. We have to take care of some other things first in here in your mind, or you will never see that weight loss and you'll never see that scale move at all. So there's definitely times where I work with people and, you know, I remove that component completely, 100%. Yeah, for sure.
I think that's huge. And I think we just don't talk enough about it because clients want to measure weight or they want to measure clothing size or they want to measure girth measurements. And those things can be really powerful feedback, right? They can be great data. But what's most important to me, and it sounds like to you, is what are your behaviors doing, right? Like what are the things you're executing consistently and the driving forces behind those behaviors? Like that's what we want to focus on. And even if the scale were to go up, maybe we have to work on this first in order to get the scale to go down in a healthy, sustainable way. So I think it's so important and love that you highlighted that.
You have to remove your wants, your physical and aesthetic wants for yourself, put those on the back burner and put, you know, what you need and what your body needs and what your mind needs first before you can ever reach that physical goal, before that will ever work. And if there's so much else going on inside of you, like it doesn't matter what your macros are or if you have the perfect diet. I mean, anyone can lose weight. It's science, basically. You eat in a calorie deficit, boom, weight loss. Like that's it. We can all do that. A monkey can do that. Anyone can give you, you know, diet macros. But, and you might see that success. You might lose some weight, you know, great. But you're not going to keep it. Because if you don't address like the reason you got there in the first place, where you are, where, why you put on all that weight to begin with, why you're unhappy with yourself and unhappy with your life first, you're always going to revert back to those old habits and to that old way of thinking and to all the reasons why you got there in the first place. Like we can white knuckle our way for 21 days or 6 weeks on any diet and hate our life all the way and be counting down the days until it's over and reach some, you know, aesthetic or weight goal. But then what happens on the first day of, you know, after that diet or, you know, on the 22nd day, like you're just going to go all the way back to square one, probably even further back, get put on all the weight you just lost plus more, because you're always going to go back to what's going on inside and your inner belief system about yourself and your life. That has to be straightened out first for any type of success to occur properly, like the right way, and for it to stick and to be sustainable.
Yes, preaching to the choir. I'm right there with you. I tell my clients all the time, like, I refuse to help you lose weight that you're just going to gain back again. Like, if that's what you're after, I'm not into it. I think we forget that it's easy to reach a goal in a bright springy season, right? So like you said, anybody for 12 weeks can muscle their way through, can find success, reach the goal, celebrate an accomplishment. But then what happens when life gets hard or there's a really dark season and stress ramps up and busyness ramps up? That's when we revert back to comfortable behavior. So if we didn't actually change the behavior patterns, we're right back to where we started. 100%. I think another thing, Kelly, that you mentioned that I want to touch on too is, and kind of in alignment with not focusing on those numbers, but you started weightlifting, right? And that kind of demonstrated to you how powerful you were as a woman and as a person, and you were able to focus on those PRs and on those successes. And I see this a lot with clients who they have a performance goal. So the goal is to go for like 3 walks a week, or the goal is to increase their deadlift by 50 pounds. Those women are more likely to reach their goals than the women or the clients who are focusing exclusively on outcomes, exclusively on number change. And not that they can't go hand in hand, but I've found that setting a performance goal always helps with those outcome goals. Is that something that you see as a coach as well?
And I feel like there's almost 2 parts to that as well. I mean, when I, you know, first started in fitness, Just the act of, you know, getting stronger and seeing what I can do in the gym and like, oh my gosh, I can lift all this weights. It's empowering. Like it makes you feel so much better about yourself. Like you can take on the world and you can do anything And you're just this strong human, this strong individual, this strong female for me, who I never, ever was up until that point. Like, I had no idea that I could do these things. And it just instills so much confidence and just power in you. And it's an amazing feeling. And that's why it just like shifts your mindset from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset, because you just realize you have this power. You have this power in you to do these things that you never thought that you could do. And you can do anything. Suddenly you're on top of the world and you want to conquer the world. And you full-heartedly believe that you can do that. It's amazing. At the same time, you know, it wasn't until I eventually got into CrossFit. So I went from bodybuilding, I got into CrossFit. Now I'm in Olympic weightlifting. And it wasn't until I became an athlete in a sport where it didn't matter what you looked like. You just had to perform optimally and win, basically, and be the best athlete you could be, that you stop worrying about the scale and your weight and these numbers. And all that matters is that you're fueling properly, you're recovering properly, and you are performing as best as you can. That's the most important thing suddenly. And it just completely removes that worry about your weight and the number on the scale. And all you want to do is just be the best in the gym, right? And suddenly you're competitive, right? And so that's more important. And even I took it a step further when I became an Olympic weightlifter. I was just thinking about that this morning, where everything, I mean, it is a weight class sport. So your weight matters, but at the same time, everything's in kilos. So it's like, you don't actually know how much you weigh, like in pounds at least. Like, you know, we talk in kilos. So to be honest, if someone asked me how much I weigh, I couldn't answer that question. I'm like, 55 kilos. And they're like, what is that? And I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I don't know. So suddenly it's even a step further. And I don't know what my weight is anymore, because it doesn't matter to me. A weight class can be between 4 and 5 kilos. Like, all you have to do is weigh between 55 and 59 kilos. And you're golden. Like, you have 4 or 5 kilos to work with, sometimes more, just to be in a weight class. So that's really all that matters. So I love the idea of my clients becoming athletes. Like, sometimes I'll get a client and they'll start out with me and they'll just be like, you know, they'll be working out at home or doing bodybuilding workouts or something, or watching videos or whatnot. And then they'll, you know, hook up with a friend on the weekend and they'll, you know, hop into a CrossFit class on the weekend. And I'm like, oh my God, that's amazing. And I'm like, so excited, because I want to support that idea of becoming an athlete, because I believe that you focus on all these other things when it's fueling, when it's recovering, when it's taking care of yourself, then the body will come. You know what I mean? The body will come, and the results that you've always wanted will come just, but, you know, by default, I feel like.
I think it sounds to me like what you're describing is you run hard after a feeling. Like, do I feel awesome? Am I feeling healthy? Am I performing to the best of my ability? And it reminds me of that quote, Kelly, where it's like, athletes don't diet and exercise, they fuel and they train.
Yeah,
because exactly. They don't care. They don't care about what the weight says, what the scale says, rather, as long as they're performing their best and they're feeling awesome as hell. Like, that's that at the end of the day is everything. And I think we get so caught up on the scale, because that's what diet culture preaches. But yes, I think those performance goals are so incredibly important.
It's wonderful. I mean, no one won the Olympics, you know, because of their 8-pack of abs. You know what I mean? Like, they don't care about that. And when you become an athlete, like, your mindset just completely shifts. And then at the same time, you have what I talked about earlier, like, you're doing all these amazing things and you're just fueling yourself with confidence. I mean, you're just overflowing with confidence, because you see, you know, your strength is going up, or, you know, you're able to do all these things that you never thought you could do or you never thought possible. And so it's just, I mean, there's so many reasons why I think that that's just so wonderful to do.
So Kelly, one thing I wanted to ask you, obviously we've been talking a lot about sustainable fat loss, which is my jam, right? Like I want this to last you a lifetime through ups and downs. Things are going to change, but I want to know that you feel really confident with your nutrition strategy, with your movement strategy, just with your body in general, because I think that is the most life-giving thing that we can give anyone. Yes. Do you think that, I know you deal with a lot of clients who come to you for fat loss as well, but when people come to you, they have unrealistic expectations about fat loss?
Oh, absolutely. Like 100% of them do. I mean, I know I did when, you know, before I learned all these things. I think that that's just natural and normal. And I think that's, you know, for a lot of different reasons. You know, people come to me because they are so into the challenge world. Like everyone is getting into all these challenges, especially now that summer's coming around and they want to get into these like 6-week challenges. And that's just the culture that they're used to. They're used to doing something so extreme for 6 weeks and dropping, you know, 15 pounds immediately, right? Like they just think that that's how this is supposed to go. That's how this is supposed to work. And it's tough. Sometimes it's a tough transition for someone to come from that to kind of slowing it down, maybe focusing on something else that needs getting, you know, taken care of first, whether it's your mindset, maybe it's your hormones, you know, maybe it's your metabolism, all these other things that need to be figured out and ironed out first before you can have this sustainable, lifelong physical transformation. And sometimes it's just, it's difficult for people to come out of that world, but obviously it's not working because you're here. So there's something wrong with this, you know, and challenges aren't meant to be not just challenges, but crash diets or just any type of extreme diet aren't meant to be sustainable. They aren't meant to be, you know, lifelong because you're meant to come back and do it again. Like you're meant to go through it and then lose your results, put on more weight probably, and come back and do another one. Like it's a cycle that you get sucked into. And it has an end date for a reason. Like they're not healthy, all right? You're not supposed to be doing them for long periods of time. It's not a good thing. Like you're just destroying your body if you think that you can do a 6-week challenge and stick to it for 12 months. Like it's just, it's not realistic and it's not healthy and you're just damaging your body like crazy. But I do have clients that come to me and they, you know, I try to set their expectations up front. Like this is a process and you need to understand that it takes time, understand that you just don't go from, you know, point A to point B in a straight line consistently. You know, weight loss is up and down and up and down and up and down. I mean, it's just all over the place sometimes. As long as, you know, we focus on a trend moving forward, that is the goal. But it's not always going to be just a straight shot to where you want to be. And sometimes, you know, people come into this and I try to set that expectation that it takes some time. It's a process. You know, it might take longer than you think it should or that you want it to, but you've got to be in it for the long haul. And I want you to understand this going into it. And then by, say, like month 3, they're ready to jump ship because they just aren't where they want to be. They aren't where they think they should be. And, you know, sometimes I have to talk people off the ledge repeatedly. Like, there's a reason this is slower than what you're used to. Like this is the right way. And you have to just educate them on why this is the right way and why that was the wrong way and why it's taking this time and, you know, show them, open their eyes to all of the wins and the successes that they are having that they aren't used to looking for or seeing. They're there. They just don't look like what they think they should look like. And, you know, it's constantly just pouring in that education and just, you know, reassuring them that they're doing the right thing. They're on the right path. This is the right way to go. This is the healthy way to go. And, you know, because it's taking this time It's going to turn into a lifestyle and it's going to be sustainable forever. And these are tools and education that you're going to take on for the rest of your life. And you're going to be able to do this on your own at some point. Like, that's the whole goal of this. But, you know, definitely there's always going to be those expectations that people come in with thinking that this is just going to be so easy, you know, because they see me posting client success stories or before and afters, and they just get so excited, but they don't see the process of how it, you know, what it took to get there for people. And every journey is different, you know. Some people, it's easier for others, and some people have a much harder time than others, and some people have a lot more other things lying under the surface that they have to figure out first and straighten out first. So yeah, absolutely. I mean, unrealistic expectations is just human nature. I mean, it's always going to be there for people for sure.
That's so relatable. And I think too, Kelly, I often remind my clients, like, what has been your teacher to date? Probably diet culture, which thrives off of you failing. Like, we often don't take that step back and ask ourselves, wait a second, diet culture wouldn't be in existence if it worked, because they want us to try something temporarily. They want us to fail because it's too restrictive. They want us to feel like, ah, oh, I'll give up and start again on Monday because it's just not sustainable and it's so discouraging. And then they want us to try all over again with a new pill and a new supplement and a new this or a new that. So if that's what you're using as your teacher, as your guide, it's going to be black and white compared to a sustainable fat loss, a program that works compared to what you've tried before.
Really, so much of it is just about like money. Like, everyone's just out there wanting to make money. Like, what can I sell? How can I sell this? Like, you know, how can I make a profit off of this? And scare people, basically. It's like all mostly fear mongering, I feel like. And it's crazy how people are so quick to just like throw money at crazy shit. Like, this is going to change my life and get me everything I want. Like, take my money, you know, like Dr. Oz or Oprah or whatever. But then when you're, you know, feeding them or, you know, serving them the answer, the blueprint, the treasure map to the treasure chest of real life, sustainable, healthy weight loss just by eating well, they're like, whoa, I can't do this. Like, no, that's not going to work. Like, you know, it's crazy.
I recently was on a discovery call with a potential client, and she mentioned throughout this call that she had about $1,000 worth of supplements on her kitchen counter. Ugh. And I was like, oh, okay. So like, coaching it's going to be perfect for you, because we are going to make sure like you don't need those supplements. We're going to set you up with longevity. You're going to reach your goal and you're going to know that you can stay there. No gimmicks. And we talked about, you know, the investment that is coaching. And I always set an expectation, like 6 to 9 months, my friends, like, I'm not getting you there overnight. This is going to take some time. We're going to build some trust. We're going to learn how to listen to your body. And she was like, oh, I can't. Absolutely not. That's no fault to her, right? Because that's what she's been conditioned to believe. Like 30 days is that. Yeah. But
also, it's like, you know, it's packaged to them and this is the easy way. Like, this is a quick way. Instant gratification. So easy. You don't even have to do anything. You just put on this belt, sit on the couch, and it like stimulates your abs, and you can just like eat potato chips and, you know, get a six pack or whatever, you know, like it's packaged in this easy way where it doesn't take any effort. And then suddenly we're telling them that it takes time. It takes effort. It takes consistency. It takes accountability. It takes, you know, work on yourself mentally and inside yourself. It takes work for it to last, you know, and that's, I think, you know, that probably scares them. And they're like, oh, I don't want to do work. I just want to do nothing. You know, I just want to pop a pill, or I just want to drink this, you know, cleanse or whatever, you know, like, I don't want to have to do anything. But my mom's the exact same way. I mean, my mom has boxes and boxes and boxes of Nutrisystem meals every time I go to their house, just filling the living room, like off on some corner, just nasty stuff. Like, I would never even like sniff it. But, you know, Marie Osmond told her that it was going to change her life. So, you know, it must work. I don't know, but it's just, it's normal. You know, it's just how the world is, I guess. I don't know.
Sad. And I think it just encourages that we have to be out there, you know, speaking the truth to kind of counteract the nonsense that is also diet culture.
We're needed. So Kelly, we're needed here.
A lot of the women that listen to this podcast are coaching clients who are investing in the process. And maybe they too at times struggle with the length of time that they need to commit to something in order to see the results. Can you share what are some of the traits of your most successful clients? Like, are there things that stick out to you where you're like, oh yeah, my most successful clients do this consistently that you can share with us?
Absolutely. It's really cool to kind of see and almost like pinpoint a moment when you have a client, you know, and they're, you can tell maybe from their check-in 1 week where they clicked, something's clicked, they're shifted, and it's just nothing but, you know, success from here. It's such a cool thing to see. But there's a lot of things. I would say, you know, the ability to set aside their need for instant gratification and to just accept that this is going to be a process and they don't care how long it takes. They're in it. They just trust the process and they're okay with maybe it taking longer than normal. They're able to see the journey from like a bird's eye view, you know, the whole process and what is at the end of it, basically that, you know, treasure chest. That's what's important to them. It's not about how long it takes to get there. And they want to do it the right way and the healthy way that they can still get up every day and just do the work, put in the reps, do the work, and essentially, you know, quote unquote, grind if they have to, because sometimes this is boring. Like sometimes you don't feel like anything's happening. Sometimes you don't feel like you're moving forward. Sometimes you don't feel like you're having any success anywhere because maybe you can't see it visually. You can't see it on the scale. You can't see it on your in your measurement. But just being able to know and trust and have faith really is what it is, that you are still moving forward. Every day something's changing inside of you, inside your body, something's changing inside your mind, something's changing every single day that you get up and you still push forward. You're getting healthier, but you're also growing. So, you know, being able to push through those maybe quote unquote boring times or the boring days or the boring weeks where I haven't changed your macros or done, you know, made any adjustments. And I've just said, okay, we're going to repeat these numbers or okay, we're going to repeat last week. You know, that's just part of it. It's not always going to be exciting. It's not always going to be sexy. You know, sometimes you just are doing the exact same thing that you did last week. Be okay with that. But also being able to pinpoint and see small wins. I mean, when someone is so focused on, oh, I didn't lose any weight this week, or, oh, my jeans still fit the same way, or, you know, nothing's happening. Why is this taking so long? Like, I'm never going to get there. Like, I'm just always going to be overweight and always hate my body. Like, you know, just harping on the negative, what you focus on is what you give life to and is what, you know, you'll get. So if you can see these other wins that maybe you aren't used to looking for that aren't visual or weight related, and focus on those and celebrate those and be appreciative of those and grateful for those, you're going to win this game. You know, you're going to win, and not even just this journey, like in life, you're going to win life if you can do that, basically, because what you focus on grows and it expands. And you have to be able to see those, even those smallest wins, and be grateful for those. Because on those days where you're unmotivated, and you feel like nothing's happening, you have to be able to you know, be grateful for something and see something to keep you moving forward, to keep you motivated. Yeah, those are just a few. And sometimes it's such a cool thing to see on, you know, on my check-ins, I have a space for like, tell me, you know, your positives for the week. What went well this week? What, you know, is, you know, some non-scale victories? What are some awesome things that happened in your week? And sometimes people just can't even come up with something. And it's so cool to see finally just one week, oh my gosh, you filling your page of awesomeness, you know? Or it's someone who can't even give me one negative because all, you know, their whole week is just filled with amazing things. Like they can't even come up with one negative. Like, you know, I can have five clients over here that have a massive list of negatives for their week, but this one client would see those same things that happened and none of those things would be negative to that client. Those wouldn't be negatives in any way, shape or form because they are so focused on the positives and how like grateful they are for their, you know, where they are right now in the journey and what's happening and what has happened already. And that's when I'm like, okay, this client is going to be successful from here on out. And she's going to win the game for sure.
Praise hands. Yes. 100%. This is, I'm so glad you said that because two of mine absolutely would have been not relying on motivation, which essentially you touched on, right? Motivation is so fickle. It's not reliable. So like putting in the reps, I think is exactly what you said. Just doing the stuff day after day, even if it's boring. But I think most importantly is celebrating those wins, no matter how teeny tiny, because what we look for is what we're going to see. So if we're looking for all the negatives, everybody's got them. But if you are looking for the positives, that is just going to set your intentionality and set your success in such a positive direction. So yeah, I could not agree more.
Woohoo!
So Kelly, to wrap things up, can you tell people where they can find you? Like if someone loved this podcast, they want to follow you on social, how can they do that?
Heck yes. Okay. So I'm on Instagram as Will Squat for Pizza. You can find me, you know, on Facebook, Kelly Collier. I have a Facebook page, Will Squat for Pizza as well. My website, which I absolutely love, is willsquatforpizza.com. All the pizza and all the squats.
So I have to ask you, where did that handle come from? Like you just really love pizza?
So, it came from when I first started this journey and I started my blog because I was just so excited about what I had discovered. And honestly, the changes that my body was going through, and I just wanted to showcase everything and, but just also be open about my journey, and what I was experiencing. So I wanted to come up with a name that was like catchy, kind of cute, but also had to do with food, which I love, and squatting because I was a weightlifter and I love squats, and it just kind of like took on its own life. So people don't even know my name anymore. Like I'm just Will Squat for, like my pastor calls me Will Squat for Pizza. Like depending on who I'm talking to, I'm either the pizza girl or like the, you know, the girl with squats or whatever, you know, like, it's just, it's awesome. And I love it. And it's just like who I am now.
I think that's amazing. We're all about food freedom in the nutrition coaching with Nicole squad. So like pizza, there's a place for that. We support it 100%.
Yes. I mean, to be honest, and I tell people all the time, and I'm not joking, like you think I'm just trying to be funny, but it's the truth. Like I've built my body on pizza.
I love
it. I built this body with pizza and heavyweight.
Awesome. Well, Kelly, thank you so much for sharing your experience. I know obviously the audience is going to love it and hopefully, you know, they'll come follow you on your page and just get more of this truth telling because yes, lasting results don't happen in 30 days. Amen.
Thank you so much. Amen, sister. Awesome. I love you, girl. You're the best.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Health, Wealth, and Wisdom Podcast. If you like what you heard today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe, and then head on over to nutritioncoachingwithnicole.com where you can sign up for my weekly emails where I send out my favorite tips, tricks, advice, and support every single Monday morning to help you kick your week off right. Thanks for listening. Until next time.